I can't hardly see. Let me see if I can get this thing on.
You're on.
When you contemplate and think about home, I love to think about it, don't you, Brother Earl?
Yes, sir.
I understand down here just a little bit, but you just wait till we get to heaven together. Hallelujah. Brand new bodies. Nobody angry. Nobody upset. No misunderstandings.
Amen.
Glory. Me and old Van might get wild. I'd love to see that. Amen. I'd like to see him walking around on his walker.
I won't have one in heaven.
Down here.
Oh.
He's a little slow. Appreciate Brother Van. Hey, be turning in your Bible, the book of Hebrews. Well, let me say that I don't know when, and I'm not just saying this. You know, he took up an offering tonight. Really, what he's wanting to do, make sure I get enough gas to get out of town. See, I knew that. I really did. See, I'll take it in cash. But my point is, I don't know when I've enjoyed preaching anymore. The young people today, all week long, and I appreciate everybody putting up my old raspy voice. But boy, today, the cream just come to the top. Now, you have to be and raised on the farm to understand what I said by that. Cream has come to the top. And I get vexed sometimes. Not all young people's bad. Say amen. Not all young people's bad. And I hesitate to wonder where some of them would be at if some of you people did not take time for them. Well, I'm glad somebody took time for me, thank the Lord. Yes. Boy, it was such a blessing today to see all them young people just get broken. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes us old hard-headed adults, they get broken.
Yeah.
Amen. It's good for you. Did y'all take Ritalin again? Boy, did Kathy done super. You know, Miss Kathy and Brother Noble have got a new home. Every now and then, Noble gets sort of romantic. Sort of. They got done with their meal. Miss Kathy and Noble went out on the porch. Kathy sat down on a swing. She looked over at Noble and said, "Honey, how come you don't sit with me anymore?" Noble gets up, goes over and sits down beside her. Kathy looks at him and said, "How come you don't hold my hand anymore?" Noble reaches down, picks up her hand, holds her hand. She looks over at Brother Noble and she says, "Sweetheart, darling, how come you don't nibble on my ear like you used to?" Noble abruptly jumps up, fixes to go in the house. Kathy says, "Where are you going, honey?" "Going to go get my teeth." I love it. I will get you. I don't know what I'm afraid of that. Donnie, don't you tell that. He'll tell it. Sure as my name's what it is. Hey, I appreciate you folks. I mean that. Boy, isn't it been wonderful every night how the Lord met with us?
Amen.
Boy, last night was good. Amen. Amen. Boy, I went to my room. Boy, I laid back and I've been reading. I love to read. I'll be honest with you, television ain't worth the watching anymore. And I love to read. I love to read good stuff. And my wife called me in. And I wish you'd pray for my wife. She's having a terrible time with her other knee. And she's getting ready for us to leave out Saturday to go to Virginia. And she said, she got real quiet on the other end. And I was telling her about the services. And she said, "Well, it's probably because I'm not there." I said, "Would you say that again?" She said, "I'm not saying it again." I told him, I said, "We got sin out of the camp." Namely, Paul. I'm just picking. I wish y'all would lighten up a little bit. I'm going to tell your daddy on you, David Yandel. I'm going to tell him in a minute. He'll probably whoop you, and I want to see that. Y'all want to see it? Is that right? I love that. She raised her hand. The book of Hebrews, please, in chapter 3. Let me read verse 7. Hebrews, please, chapter 3, verse 7. Everybody get your place, if you would, please, in your Bible. Hebrews 3. Let's read together verse 7. Ready? Hebrews 3, verse 7. "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation of the day of the temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation. I said, they do always err in the heart. They have not known my way. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you have an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Now in that chapter, notice the word today keeps popping up. He says today, if you look back in verse 7, he says today if you'll hear his voice, he says, harden not your hearts. That's in verses 8. Somebody give me a cell phone right quick. Give me a cell phone, Kath. I know you got one in there. You got any minutes on it? There's one. Oh, this has got that flip top. You wanted that anyway, didn't you? I'll get it to you after services. Hey, the other day, and I say the other day, I want you to listen to this. I was preaching outside of a little old place outside of Woodlawn, Virginia. And we got done preaching and we was going to break for lunch. And God is my witness, we went outside, including myself. Everybody out there, every preacher had, hello. That thing started ringing. I didn't push no button. Huh? Lord help us. Somebody, I better get your cell phone before this thing blows up. We went outside, and God is my witness, every preacher had one of these things in his ear.
Oh, yeah.
And they're saying, can you hear me now? Every one of them had one of these things, including myself. Can you hear me now? Wait a minute. Can you hear me now? They was all over that parking lot trying to find a signal. Can you hear me now? I went back inside and we got to talking. Now look up here for a moment. It's not that God is not speaking. It's just we're not hearing. Now say amen. It's not that God is not speaking. We're not hearing. Go to chapter 1 with me just for a moment. Go to Hebrews, please, chapter 1. I promise you, Miss Kathy, I'll give this thing back to you. I better give it back to him now because a certain man's about to have a conniption. He thinks the minutes is going to be run up on it, and there goes all of his cows. I love aggravating him. I'm going to be back next week just to aggravate him. Look in your Bible just for a moment. Look in Hebrews, please, in chapter 1. Look in verse 1. God, who at sundry times, in divers manner, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So you see, God spoke in chapter 1 in verse 1. Look down in verse 2. Hath in these last days, turn this thing down a little bit for me, son. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his son. Do y'all see that? Would y'all get into this? Verse 1 says, God spake. Verse 2 says, if you have in these last days spoken by his son. Now, chapter 3. He says in verse 7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you hear his voice. So we find God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost speaking. Speaking. It's not that God is not speaking. It's just we're not hearing. Well, you mean that, brother, sister? Now watch this. Are y'all ready? In Genesis chapter 3, you can turn there if you want to. Genesis 3 verses 8, we know that Adam told God. He says, and I heard thy voice and I was afraid. So we know that Adam and Eve heard the voice of God. Going up a little farther, we know that Moses heard the voice of God. We know that Aaron heard the word of God. We know that he heard that voice of God. Let me show you from the New Testament. Go to the book of, if you don't mind, keep your finger in the book of John, and we'll go. But turn with me to Acts, please, in chapter 9, I believe it is. Now I'm going to preach this, it takes me all night. Look in, please, in Acts chapter 9. You find a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. Look in your Bible, Acts chapter 9. Read, if you don't mind, in verses 3. This ungodly man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. Verse 3 says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth, and would somebody say it back to me? What does it say, Brother Jay? And he heard a voice. Do y'all see that? It says he heard a voice. Now, there's more to salvation than just your emotions or your feelings. It's not, again, let me say this. If you say, well, brother, sister, what do you mean it's not my emotions or not my feelings? Now listen to me. A man or woman, the Spirit of God must convict that man or woman.
Amen.
And there's more to it than just popping bubble gum. There's more to it than just losing a mom or a dad. It's more to it than having a car wreck. It's more to it than fixing to undergo surgery. I do agree that God can use them things to bring you to that point, but it's more than just walking down a church aisle. It's hearing the voice of the Spirit of God. How does He do it, brother, sister? This right here. Supernatural books. Amen.
Amen.
This Bible, thank God, is God-breathed. Amen. Boy, it'll be a glorious day in your life when you accept that. Now keep your finger and turn to the book of John with me. We're talking about a voice. The other day I had this dear brother, and he's good at this stuff. And I was talking about how that no two fingerprints are the same. And that's the truth.
Yeah.
No person's two DNA is the same. Did you know that there's no two voices the same? There is absolutely no two voices the same upon this little mudball planet called Earth. The anatomist tells us the voice can produce 17,592,186,000,000 different times of voice vectors. Now listen to this. Listen to this. The different sounds. Every individual has a distinct sound. It says God spake in verse 1 and chapter 1. Verse 2 it says God spake. And then chapter 3 it says, the Bible says, today if you hear His voice. Talking about the Holy Ghost. Look in John 5, if you don't mind. And please, John 10, I'm sorry. Look in verse 3, please. John 10, verse 3. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him that the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his
voice.
Did y'all see that? And the sheep hear his voice. Hallelujah. The sheep hear his voice. Now watch this. Drop on down and look at what it says, and calleth his own by name, and they leadeth him out. Verse 4, and when he putteth forth unto his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Isn't that wonderful? Drop on down if you don't mind, and look in your Bible, please, and look at verse 5. A stranger they will not follow, but they'll flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Look if you don't mind in your Bible, in verses 27. My sheep hear my voice. Let me read it to you again. My sheep hear my voice.
Amen.
How you like that? My sheep hear my voice. Has there ever been a time in your life the Spirit of God arrested you? I'm talking about brought you to the end of yourself and you cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Has there ever been that time in your life? Has there ever been a time in your life that God the Holy Spirit wrung you out and hung you out over hell? What do you mean, preacher? You see the voice that comes. What do you mean, preacher? It will convict you of your low-down sin. What do you mean, preacher? There's more to it than just putting your name on a church roll. There's more to it than going through the baptismal pool. There has to be this. What do you mean, preacher? And that's the one thing that's missing today in our Baptist churches. It's called Holy Ghost conviction. You don't see people much anymore grip the back of the pews. You don't see people, hey, I'm fortunate, thank God. I believe I'm with the cream of the crop. I'm talking about independent Bible-believing churches. Thank God, hallelujah. I still see people every now and then occasionally run to the altar. Occasionally, every now and then, I see people weep and sob and get broken. Every now and then, sometimes, I'll be honest about middle ways of the message, all of a sudden, God, the Holy Spirit will break people's heart, and they'll just start coming to the altar in the midst of preaching. Guess what I do? I just stop. Lord, is my tie crooked? I've been asking everybody. I asked Brother Houghton and all that bunch over here. How come y'all all sit over here and won't sit here? I took a shower. One lady told me she didn't want to be spit on. So that may be the reason. I don't know. But my point is here, y'all listen to me. There's a day in my life, my personal life, the Spirit of God arrested me, thank God, and I got saved, dear God. I didn't join a Baptist church, no. Thank God I got saved. Hallelujah, thank God. Go to John, please. Let me show you this before I run step out of the building. Go to John chapter 5 with me just for a moment. Look in your Bible, please. You must hear the voice that is called in the place of salvation. The apostle, Saul of Tarsus heard the voice. Adam heard the voice. Moses heard the voice. Aaron heard the voice. And the Hebrew letter says, today if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. There's some truths I want you to see. Look if you would in John chapter 5 just a moment. Look in your Bible. I want you to please make a note of them. In John chapter 5, look down if you don't mind in your Bible in verses 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice had glory, thank God. Look in your Bible. It says in verse 24, verse 25, he says, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Hey, oh, thank God. Hallelujah. When that occurs, brother, we're out of here. Amen. Boy, I love to think about it. Boy, I can understand Miss Kathy singing that song about home. The older I get, boy, I'm telling you sometimes, Miss Betty, my heart, I don't know how to explain it to you, Brother Jay, but there's times in my life I love living. I like living, Jay. Amen. Let me say it again. I like living.
I do too.
He ain't got his hearing aid in. I got to talk to this ear.
I'm here.
But I like living. Say amen. I like amen. Living. But then there's other times, brother, that I feel this with inside of me that I'd like to get out of this mess.
Amen.
Does anybody understand what I'm saying? There's times in my life that actually I feel like I just say, Lord, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly.
Amen.
What do you mean, preacher? Look at that verse. Look what he says. They that are in the dead shall hear my voice, and they shall hear the voice, and they that hear shall live. Look down in verse 28. Marvel not that I said unto them, hour is coming, for the which all that are in the grave shall hear the voice. Oh, thank God. Hey, I'm talking about our Savior's going to come suspended in the air. He's going to say, come up hither, and every blood-washed child's a leaving here. Say amen. The grave is going to bust open. Them that are in the grave are going to come up out of there. Amen. That's a blessing, boy, thank God. My boy Nathan, I got to tell y'all this, Noble. Brother Van, just like little boys do, I had a funeral and I looked out there and he was running all over the top of them graves. I said, Nathan! Boy, he stopped. Now, that's that tone. You women know what I mean when you... Do you know that tone, Doctor? I bet he ain't never been hollered at in his life. My boy was out there walking, and I was taught when I was a boy you didn't walk across graves. You respected the grave. You didn't do that. I said, Nathan. Boy, he stopped just like that. What, Daddy? I said, quit walking on top of them graves. He said, why, Daddy? Just a little boy. I said, son. I said, if Jesus comes, them graves is going to bust open, and you're going to be right around one of those saints of God's necks. To the day that boy left this world, you couldn't get him to cross a grave. Hey, I'm a literalist, brother. If that Bible says it, I believe it.
Amen.
I may not understand it, but I believe it, dear God. Hey, take hope in this, thank God. We that's got loved ones, they're going to come up out of there. They're going to have a brand new body, thank God. And we're going to be changed in a moment of the twinkling of an eye.
Amen.
That's the name of God that thrills me to death.
Amen.
So there's a voice in this matter called salvation. You need to write that down. There's another voice, if you would please go back to the book of Hebrews. There's a voice, and I believe this is all of my innermost being. What do you mean? It's what I call a winsome voice, a very agreeable voice. You see, God loves mankind. Would y'all say amen?
Amen.
He loved us so much that He let His Son die. Now, I don't know how y'all was raised, but boy, I was raised by a stepdad. And my stepdad, boy, he wasn't always the most kindest man in the world. I go back in my mind, any healthy male can father a child. But the real father is one that stays with him.
Amen.
Man, my stepdad, he was really my dad. He was really my dad. My dad left us. He abandoned us when I was 2 years old. He deserted us when I was 2 years old. I didn't even know him until I was 28 years old, and then I seen him in a coffin. But my stepdad, he taught me, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no, sir, thank you, pardon me, excuse me. He's an old military man like that guy back there at BW. That BW means very worship. Military man. We was never allowed to put anything on our plate. We took it out, we had to eat it.
Amen.
We was taught work ethics. We was taught this, your word is your bond. Keep your word.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know why mothers used to do what they do. They use what they call reverse psychology on you. Now, my mama used to. My mama was 100 pounds soaking wet. She'd grab you up, boy, and just beat the daylights out of you. But sometimes she would do this. She'd say, you wait till your daddy gets home. Oh, do y'all, anybody outside me, do y'all remember that?
Oh, yeah.
She'd say, you wait till your daddy gets home. Now then, you've got whatever you're doing, maybe a couple hours or whatever you're doing, and you hear the car or truck pulling the driveway, and watch this, and you know, you're hoping she has amnesia. You're hoping her mind leaves her.
Oh, yeah.
That don't ever happen.
Right.
No, I'd be whatever I was doing whatever I was doing, and probably sucking up. I probably was doing everything that I should have been doing beforehand to try to keep him in a good mind. Boy, wherever I was out, Brother Jay, watch this, listen to this. I mean, she's using this reverse psychology on you. I'd be wherever I was at, Don, and all of a sudden I'd hear this, now then. Now, wherever I'm at, I got to come to where the voice is at. Do y'all remember that?
Hell yeah.
They remember it. Don't y'all remember it? You remember that? Now, wherever I was at, I got to come to the voice. And here's what he'd say. Don't you let me have to tell you again. Oh! Now then, and here's your good one. They'd grab you up and wire the daylights out of you. Just whip you and whip you and whip you. And then after you started crying, they'd jump on you again and say, quit that crying. Some of y'all was raised the same way I was raised. Boy, you got one of them, you didn't get another one, amen. But my point is listen to this. Wherever I had to leave wherever I was at and go to where the voice was at.
Yeah.
Melvin. And so I had to go to the voice. Now listen to me. When I show you this, I want you, everybody in this building, to grasp this. Go back to the book of Hebrews with me, please, in chapter 3. Everybody get there just for a moment. What do you mean, brother, sister? The voice that I'm talking about is a very agreeable voice. Hey, look here. God loves mankind. He loved you so much that He let His Son die. Say amen. Yeah. But I don't believe the judgment seat of Christ is going to be as easy as everybody thinks it's going to be. It ain't. When you're saved, it gets so is by fire. Wait till you have to stand there by yourself before the Lord. Amen, sister. Every man's work shall be tried as to what sort it is. Your life will be an instant replay at the judgment seat of Christ. Not to determine whether you're saved or lost. That's not what he's saying. Say amen. No, hey, at the judgment seat of Christ, you're already saved. You're going to answer for the deeds did in the body. That ain't going to be as easy as everybody thinks it's going to be. But my point is, you look at Hebrews 3, look in verses 1. Now write this down. Not only is the voice agreeable, not only is it a winsome voice, but it's a waking voice. How many of y'all remember in John 11? How many of y'all remember at the tomb of Lazarus? How many of y'all remember? Yeah. Lazarus had been dead, what, 4 days? How many of y'all remember Jesus cried with a loud voice? How many of y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Lazarus! You ever remember that? You ever wondered why that he called him by name? Somebody said if he hadn't called him by name, they'd all have got up. But my point is watch this. Jesus called Lazarus by name. Amen. John 11. Now watch it. Thirdly, write this down. It's what I call a wooing voice. It means to court. It means to make love to. Well, the Spirit of God, aren't you glad? Do y'all remember this? Do y'all remember that when the Spirit of God began to deal with you?
Amen.
Oh, brother friend, do you remember how He wooed you to Calvary?
Amen.
Do you remember how He showed you the Son of God suffering, bleeding, dying, paying your sin debt?
Yes.
He wooed you. He courted you. Yes. Brought you to that point in your life. Y'all wouldn't say amen for nothing. Another thing, write it down for me right quick. It's what I call a welcoming voice. You see, in years gone by, sometimes you can tell by the tone of a person's voice whether you're welcome or not. Amen. Amen. Sometimes you can tell by the tone of their voice whether you're welcome there. It's like this woman, God bless her heart. I've been preaching 11 straight years at this church. Every time I'd get up and preach, Brother Tom, she would get up and go out the door. Well, I knew something was wrong. Don't take no rocket scientist to figure that out. She'd come for all the singing, whatever, and I'd get up, preach, she'd leave. Sit out sometime in the vestibule. Went up there. I've been there 11 straight years in a row. The 11th year that I went there, the preacher said, Brother Sisson, said, we've got a breakfast engagement in the morning. And he told me this woman's name. I said, what? He said, oh, yeah, we're going to have breakfast. I'm thinking, you're going to eat the eggs first, son. Because I knew that woman didn't like me, boy. I mean, son, this woman's upset at me. I knew that for about something I'd done. So he said, now we need to go. I said, she's planning on having us for breakfast. So we go over there. And we go in, and so, boy, she had a table spread. You can't believe what a breakfast that woman had. And we sit down at the table, and she looks at me, and she says, Brother Sisson, there's something I need to say to you. I said, ma'am, it's all right. She says, no, I need to get this off my chest. She said, I need you to forgive me. I said, ma'am, it's okay. It's all right. It's okay, let it go. She said, no, I want this off between me and you. I said, ma'am, it's okay. She said, no. She said, I told my husband. She said, that man is as counterfeit as a $13 bill. You wouldn't know a 13 from a 14. Say amen, Kath. Yeah. Backfired on him. I like it when he does that. Listen to this. She said, And she's crying. God, tears is running down her chin. She said, I told that my preacher. I told my husband. She said, that man is as counterfeit as a $13 bill. There ain't nobody can be that happy. Ain't that pitiful? Yeah. I went up there 11 straight years of my life before that woman would accept me that I was what I was. Amen. What are you trying to get me to see, Brother Sisson? I'm saying, listen, when I go in, I knew I wasn't too welcome. I could, well, hello, you know, hello. I stick my hand out, shake. Sometimes she wouldn't even shake hands. Not, you know, and honestly, I'd just shake hands with her. I'm just me. It's her problem, not mine. Amen. But I knew I wasn't too much welcome moving around that woman. But my point is watch this. I've been there every year. I've been there a couple years since then. Boy, she's a totally different woman. You know, if you're happy, did you ever notice this? If you're happy, people think there's something wrong with you. They think you're on wacky weed.
You're right.
Honestly, they think, what's wrong with that person? Boy, if you could see where God brought me from and where I'm going. Amen. Hey, if you could see that, you may act worse than I do. Let's go back to Hebrews now. Ready? Look in your Bible. What do you mean by this? The voice of God is distinct. The voice of God is a declaring voice. It declares our sin. His voice is also a demanding voice. Now watch this. Verse 1 says, wherefore is the Holy Ghost saying, when would you say it back to me? When? Talk to me, Brother Donnie. When does it say? When? Oh. Did y'all get that? Look in your Bible. Now watch it. He says, today if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Boy, and I read that 5 times in that chapter. Over again He says, today. How about Revelation? How about the book of Revelation? 7 times it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Again, I say this, it's not that God's not speaking, we're just not hearing.
You're right.
Ready? Watch this. Look in your Bible. What do you mean, Brother Sisson? Now watch. Everybody write this down. Look if you would in your Bible. I believe this with all my heart. God can be angered. Look if you don't mind in verse 8. Harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of the temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Notice the word provocation means to irritate. The word grieve means to vex. The word wrath is anger. I thought about this. We risk the blessings of God. How do you do that, Brother? When God becomes angered. What do you mean? He says, today, not tomorrow.
Amen.
We're always putting off tomorrow. We're always putting off today. What? Tomorrow. Watch this. Are y'all ready? Drop on down if you don't mind. Man, as I told the young people today, man only has the power of choice. Anybody outside of me ever been to Cincinnati? I know he has. Anybody? I want to give you all some homework I want you to do. Next time you go into Cincinnati, go across the bridge. And from Kentucky, from the promised land, over into Moab. When you go across the interstate, go across the bridge, does anybody know where Union Terminal's at? Do you really?
Yes.
You probably was kicked out of the service there. He looks at me so serious.
I like you got killed there.
They just missed one. Don't go back. The next time you ever go to, I want you to do this. I want you to go to Union Terminal.
Yeah.
It's a huge building made like this. And it's used to in World War II. It's where they discharge all the military. I want you to go in there the next time. Every now and then my mind leaves me. I ain't talking to you because your mind's already gone. Sometimes as grandparents, don't our mind leave us. I told my wife, I said, I know what we'll do. All the kids is coming in. I said, I'm going to take them all to the zoo. Never will I do that again. Them grandkids is in the back. Papa, he touched me. Papa, make him quit. Papa, are we there yet? Papa, I want a McDonald's. Papa, I want this. Papa, I want that. I said, Mary, our mind has left us. I took him to the zoo. We had a ball. So, after the zoo encounter, I said, I know what let's do. Let's go over to Union Terminal, that place I'm telling you about. We go over there, and it's a magnificent place. Honestly, it's worth the drive to go see it. So we go in there, they got a sign that says, try this. I'm inquisitive, man, it's free, I'm going to try it. I'm telling you, go up there. It's great, it's got a dome like this, a dome. Here's the kicker. Nobody knows, no scientist, nobody knows why this does what it does. They got a building like this, except it's about 100 feet tall, 100 feet up there, and it's probably maybe taller than that, and from right here to over there, it's probably 200 feet that way. You stand right here. Just stand right here in a low tone, just like this. And just talk. And your voice goes over, plumb over yonder to whoever's on the other side, and you can hear him as plain as day talking in just a regular tone. Just talking in a normal tone. Me and my boy tried it. You can almost whisper, and your voice travels that thing and comes out over there. Nobody knows why it does it. Nobody knows how it does it. It's the acoustics. Boy, have I got y'all's attention. Now, you know as well as I do that if I sit down beside him, I don't have to talk as loud. I'm close to him. Would y'all perk up a little? I don't have to talk as loud. But if I get plumb over here and I want to talk to him, I got to get a little louder. So now watch us. Here's what we do. We get farther and farther and farther away from God. It's not that God is not speaking. He's not hearing. But can you Bible now watch this? God can be angered. Personally, I believe God's angered in America already.
Amen.
Boy, I told you a preacher. I want everybody to look up here now. Get a real good grip on your seat. Y'all ready? Brother Sisson, I love prophecy. I love prophecy. I believe with all of my heart we're living on the verge of the coming of our Lord.
Amen.
The psalmist said in Psalms 9 and verse 17, the wicked and the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. I've been preaching it for some 38 years of my life. When America legalized when the Supreme Court justices legalized abortion, America took a nosedive. And she's been going downhill ever since. All you got to do is check it out. Since 1973. Just check it out. There's been more hurricanes, there's been more deaths, there's been more problems. Look at Louisiana. I could go on and on. All right, so here we are in the year 2007. We're going to elect a president. Look up here. Check out Israel. God, they wouldn't listen to God either. Israel wouldn't listen to God. God would bring down wicked kings on them. The Ammonites, the Amorites, the Philistines, and kill thousands of them. He would hold the rain. Do y'all remember this? Thousands of them would die. Finally, Israel would repent. Finally, they would return to God. Finally, God would restore them. And can you believe this? That vicious cycle would go over and over again. What makes you think that God is going to give us a godly president? What makes you think that? We sure don't deserve it.
You're right.
Oh, I done stirred up a nest now, ain't I? Brother, sister, I'm going to tell you right now, I ain't voting for this crowd. I ain't doing this. I ain't doing that. I believe with all my heart, if you're saved, I believe you ought to vote.
Amen.
You ought to get in your closet somewhere, get down on your knees and ask God who to vote for. Say amen to me.
Amen.
You ought to vote what I call responsibly. Why am I telling you this? But let me tell you why. Our children and grandchildren are dependent upon it. Amen.
Amen. Right.
But what makes you think that we won't get some ungodly, wicked president? Do you see why we preach like we preach? I know we don't believe it, but God can be angered. Look in your Bible. He says today, look in verses 2, please. I'm sorry, verses. Harden not your hearts. That's in verse 8. Watch this. Not only will our, when this matter of hearing, God can be angered. Number 2, our hearts can be hardened. Look in verse 8, please. Harden not, and I'll guarantee you that in a person that's been, if you'd be honest, your heart is not as near as tender as it once was.
That's right.
I'll guarantee you, amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Your heart's not as near as tender as it was the day you got saved. Not only can God be angered, this matter about hearing, but our hearts can be hardened. Now watch it. Every time you do it, it becomes easier and easier and easier before. What do you mean, brother, sister? Now watch it. I'm talking about God's voice grows fainter and fainter. I wasn't telling Brother Art. All my you know what I love about them grandkids? Take them and go home. If they don't come back, I go get them. Hey, brother, you love this. Now don't you glean from this. Don't glean from it. All of them come over. Oh, he's got all of them living next door to him. He ain't got no problem. My grandkids come from Arizona. They come from Florida. They come from Ohio. They jumped on me like a duck on a June bug. Papa, what, son? Can we go camping? Are you ready for this, sister, happen? Here I am, a 60-plus-year-old man, fixing to go camping. I'm thinking, sleeping on a... No, I don't want to do that. So I went and got me a tent, put me a tent up in the backyard, run me some extension cords out there, got me some air mattresses, got me some electric blankets. I put my TV out there and some VCRs. I said, boy, we're camping. Boy, here about 2 o'clock in the morning, I heard this. Listen, Papa, go to sleep. Papa, go to sleep. 2:30, Papa. 3 o'clock, Papa. Y'all ain't experienced nothing, son, till you've been in a tent with 6 grandkids. And your voice just gets fainter, fainter, fainter. And finally you give in and say, what? I got to go to the bathroom. We're camping. We're roughing it. Fan blowing. I got me a fan. I put me a fan out there. One of them oscillating fans. I roughed it. Oh, yeah. Man, I put them beats, I put them little, what are them little, I watched Blue's Clues, so I know them things inside and out, up, down, backwards, over. Yeah, I know Blue's Clues. Bob the Workman, I know all of them. That drove me crazy. But my point is watch this. Look in your Bible. Not only can God be angered, number two, our hearts can be hardened. Now, please listen to me. I'm not just playing. Now, watch this. Listen. Hardened through what I call deceitfulness of sin. Isn't it a shame and a disgrace at our day and time that sin is not hated? Yep. Would y'all say amen to me? It's not hated anymore. We play with it and toy with it and play. And you can't get people to attend a good Bible-believing church and fall out of love with sin. Most churches, boy, most people, I'm telling you, they don't want no preacher that's hard on sin. No, they don't. They don't want no preacher that's hard on sin. Let me show you why. We're hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And I'll be honest with you. I'll tell you something. Look up here. Do you remember when the Virginia Tech hit? Virginia Tech? 30-some people died. Am I right? Would y'all let me just give you this as a way of illustration? When Columbine hit, you remember Columbine? My heart was so broken. Do y'all understand what I mean by that? Then 9/11, then Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech didn't move me near as much as Columbine did. Do you understand what I just mean by that? That's the way things come in our life. We get hardened through it. Television has so brainwashed us. Amen, sister. To where we're hardened through deceitfulness of sin. Look in your Bible. That's in verse 15. We're hardened through deception. Verse 13, the Bible says this. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Oh my. Sin can deceive you. That's the reason why you need a preacher to cry aloud and spare not. Amen. We ain't got too many of them anymore. Third thing, look in your Bible. Watch it. Hardened through what I call disbelief. Verse 19, look in your Bible. Verse 19, same chapter. So we see then that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now, I know y'all wouldn't do this. There's no way that grace is great as this church is. There's no way that you'd come in here on Sunday morning not with unbelief in your heart. There's no way you'd do that. There's no way you'd do that, would you? There's no way that you would come in here on Sunday morning and not have unbelief in your heart. How many of y'all remember the night or day you got saved? Would you raise your hand? Do you remember how you were so sensitive to the Spirit of God about the matter called hell? Do you remember this? Watch this. Boy, in your early, you knew first when you got saved, and boy, the preacher mentioned hell, your heart would just break. First thing you know, you'd be at an altar somewhere crying out, God, don't let my brother go to hell. Don't let my mom go to hell. Don't let my dad go to hell. My point is I'm trying to get you to see, we come to the house of God anymore. We don't even expect God to do anything. We're getting like Israel. So we find, number one, God can be angered. Number two, our hearts can be hardened. Now watch this. Look here. Look down in verse 7, same chapter. Hebrews 3, verse 7. Look in your Bible. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear His, would you say it back to me?
Boy.
Now watch this. Are y'all ready? Turn to chapter 12 just for a moment. What time is it? Still 7 o'clock. Amen. Hebrews 12, verse 25. Brother Sisson, not only can God be angered, not only our hearts can be hardened, but did you know one day you'll run out of time? It says what? Would y'all say it back to me? When was it, Brother Donnie? When does it say, Brother Nathan, what does it say today? Ain't that what it says? Ain't that what it says?
Yes, sir.
So we can run out of time.
Yeah.
Right. Personally, I believe that clock's ticking. Let me show you this. This ought to get a hold of everybody's heart in this building. Look, if you don't mind, in verse 25. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. Ready? Ready? Hebrews 12, verse 25. See that you refuse not him that what?
Speaketh.
God spoke, chapter 1, verse 1. His Son spoke, verse 2. God the Holy Ghost spake, Hebrews chapter 3. Here we find it says this, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. Anybody outside me ever done this? There's a young girl, I'll never forget her. Look up here, I'll take her to my grave. I'll take her to my, I don't forget people. She stood right here this morning, young teenage girl. Stood right here. I know when God's dealing with somebody. I mean, I knew that the Lord was dealing with that girl. Her chin would quiver. She dropped her head. She wouldn't look up. Everybody was at the altar, but she was just standing there. Watch this. She wasn't refusing me. She wasn't refusing Brother Ard. She was not refusing her teachers. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. Now, just in a minute, we're going to stand. We're going to go have an invitation. We do that because it's, you know, customary. But watch this. You won't be saying no to me. Anybody outside of me ever had one of them cell phones? Did I get it back to you? Then, well, I thought I did. I did, too. Boy, I find more heart in a deceitful woman. Somebody give me a, she got one. Give me that over. That'll work. This'll work. Anybody outside me, have y'all ever had one of these things and have a real important call and have no signal? Huh? Anybody outside of me ever have? I'm talking about a real important call and this thing not work. Would you turn to Isaiah with me, please? And I'll close this and I'll show you. I want you to watch this. This bothers me. It eats me up like a cancer. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. Look in your Bible in the book of Isaiah. I want you to make a note of it now. Make a little note in the book of Isaiah. Everybody get over there just for a minute. Look in Isaiah chapter 59, please. Ready? Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. Did y'all see that?
Amen.
So God's on the line all the time. But now watch verse 2. Look in verse 2. But your iniquities have separated you between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not do what? Say it back to me, Miss Cathy.
Hear.
Oh, Brother Van. Ain't that heartbreaking?
Yes.
But it says your sins. God knows I love you, man. Presuppose that, guys, listen, that they're in the hospital. Temperature 103, 104. They put them in water. They put them in ice, trying to do everything, get their temperature down. This has happened to me time and time again, Brother Larry. In a hospital, a child's got to slip into a coma.
Yeah.
Guess what the parents will do? They'll say, Brother Sisson, can we go somewhere to the chapel and pray? And we'll go to the chapel.
Yeah.
And they'll want me to pray.
Yeah.
They'll want me to pray. Van knows what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
They'll want me to pray. Boy, it's one thing for me to pray, but it's another thing for them to be able to get a hold of God for them.
Amen.
Yeah. Does everybody hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't want to get that way in my life. I don't want to get that way in my life to where God won't hear me. Say amen. But your iniquities and your sins have... Don't blame Brother Art. Don't blame Brother Van. Don't blame nobody. It's your sins. Let me show you this one right quick. This preacher I know, he and his brother-in-law was fishing on Labor Day. Nothing wrong with fishing. On Labor Day, Monday. They said he was in a cove, and all of a sudden they heard this crack, a terrible crack. And a tree fell. And that preacher told me, he says, there was no wind, there was no rain, there was no storm or nothing, but a tree just fell. And when it did, it went right across his back. The preacher's laying there, him and his brother-in-law, in the water, boat's turned upside down. And he knows something desperately is wrong with him because he said his body, he could not even feel his legs. His brother-in-law came to him and the preacher said he begged him. He said, please pray for me. Please pray for me. And his brother-in-law said, I can't pray. God don't hear me. I can't pray. God don't hear me. He managed to keep his head up out of the water, and finally somebody seen them and come over there to help him. The next time I visited him was in a hospital, and he was in a circular bed. You know what a circular bed is? And it was embedded in his skull. His neck was broken. Hanging, he hung there for months on end. Hanging there, one of them circular beds. Here's what he told me. His brother-in-law used to attend the church that I pastored. I visited him so many times over the years and sat down and talked to him, and I'd say, Randy, what you need, son, is you need a relationship with the Lord. Well, brother, sister, I understand. This is what he would tell me. Working 12 hours a day, 6 days a week.
Oh, yeah.
No time for God, none whatsoever. Now, how would you like to have been in that situation to where you couldn't even pray for anybody? Can you hear me now? It's not that God ain't speaking, it's just we're not hearing. Well, I've seen some tragedies in my life. I was telling them this morning. This woman loves God. It's like a lot of us got families that's more that's out of the will of God, messed up. She had a boy named Gordon. He got married, had two children by this woman. She walked off and left him, took the kids. Gordon went into depression, deep depression. He laid for days and weeks on end with just a sheet over him. Smoked one cigarette to the other, one cigarette to the other. Wouldn't eat. Body just lost weight constantly. I was over a home revival back in March. His mother loves God. Said the phone rang, said Gordon would get so happy because he was going to get his kids for the weekend. He's going to get his kids for the weekend. Said he would just light up. He just couldn't wait to get his kids, his two girls. He was up to his mom's and phone rang and said, the little girl said, Daddy, we can't come. Mama's got no way to bring us and we can't come. She said, all of a sudden, it's just like he bottomed out. And she said before, this is the mother speaking now, they'd done cut his phone off. She said that before, she said she could hear every word that this woman said. She says, Gordon, I want you to know that I never loved you. We'll never get our home back together. She says, it's wishful thinking. I hate the ground you walk on. I hope you drop dead. Screaming in his ear on the phone. She had been stringing him on for months that they was going to get their home back together. She says, I'm remarried. I don't love you. I never have loved you, and I hope you drop dead. She said, he hung the phone up. Miss Sears told me, she said, Gordon, sit down here, hon. That's your baby boy. He said, Mom, I'm all right. He says, well, Mom, I'm going to go down to the house. He lived in a trailer, a double wide, probably 300 feet, just right down this way. He went down there, and she said, this is what she told me. She said, all of a sudden, instinctively, inside of her, the Spirit of God said, something's not right. She went running down through there. Not more than just a few minutes had elapsed. He had climbed up in his garage and hung himself. She said he was still alive, and she got her baby boy. Now, y'all need to understand this. She got her boy and was trying to hold him up to keep him from suffocating to death. And she said she couldn't hold him. And she let him down as easy as she could and run next door to the only man that could help her. And he was passed out drunk. She run back. Now her son is dead. I venture to say that all of her remaining days on this world, she probably says, I wish I could have helped him just a little bit longer. I wish that man hadn't been drunk. I wish he could have helped me get my boy down. I went over and seen her when I come in from revival. Love her, boy. She's a godly woman. Loves the Lord. Here's what she said, Brother Sisson. She said, I don't know what more I could have done for Gordon. She said, I've prayed for Gordon. I've loved Gordon. She named all the things that she had done. Have you ever thought about where some of us would be at if somebody hadn't loved us?
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about what we'd be involved in if somebody hadn't stood in the gap for us? Please listen to me. He says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. I want us to stand, bow our heads and close our eyes. God can be angered. Our hearts can be hardened. You will run out of time. He says, let him, in the book of, if you read the Revelations, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Unashamed tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed as Brother Larry's coming. How many of you would come tonight and say, God, make me ever so sensitive. May I be able to hear that voice once again. God bless you, Nathan. Would you come tonight? Come on, just get out of your seat and come. Forget about who's a member of what and wherever. If you just be honest tonight, boy, our churches need to hear the voice of God. Our individual homes, we need to hear the voice of God. Our Christian homes, our individually, we need to hear the voice of God. We're powerless anemically. Some of you here tonight are walking afar off. The voice is getting fainter and fainter and fainter. God speaks to you about your home. God speaks to you about living for Him and putting Him first in your life. It's not that He's not speaking, it's just we're not hearing. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Lord Jesus, we love you. Make us ever so sensitive to that voice. Lord, I pray that you'd sweep over this audience. God, break our old hard hearts. Lord, I realize and understand that, God, you can be angered. Lord, I realize that, Lord, my own heart, Lord, we can get hardened. And I realize that today is the day. Lord, if we're ever going to do anything, it ought to be now. Please speak, Lord. If there's one here unsaved, please, God, help them. Lord, if there's one here that's got things in their life that ought not be, God, please, may they not be able to walk out of this building. Speak to us, dear God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.